So when we talk about, here we go. So tomorrow is Independence Day, as I said. Freedom is a principle that our nation has stood for, right? We have enjoyed, we enjoy more freedom than most places on the planet. We should be really excited about where we live, even in these times. We need to be grateful that we're even allowed to gather here, of the many who are in our world who do not have the luxury that we have to be able to gather and publicly declare Jesus. We should be grateful for that. Freedom is a core value. It's in our Declaration of Independence, right? It's in our Bill of Rights and our Constitution. These documents have been the bedrock for our nation for now 246 years. Since the Battle of Yorktown, that my wife and my daughter were able to go up to Yorktown and see the battlefield where General Cornwallis was defeated and hid in a corner as we won that day. And this, actually, I think we've done a pretty good job over the years. We've had our ups and downs, but as far as freedom and liberty, I love our country. I'm grateful for our country. I'm grateful that, and we need to remember that. We're not perfect, neither is the church, but I'm grateful that I'm living in our country. Amen. But when we talk about freedom, what does that mean? Because then it can get kind of dicey. And I'm going to switch over. So freedom is not, let me just say this. Freedom is not anarchy. Freedom doesn't equal anarchy. When the U.S. was born, we didn't just allow everything to go on. Thus the Constitution, a system of government was set up. Congress was set up to enact laws, Supreme Court to make sure those laws didn't violate the Constitution. And laws were given. Freedom is not anarchy. That's our political situation. And it's great. But let's step aside from the political quickly and look at how freedom hits us personally. And freedom hits us from a God's worldview. Like individually, what Jesus has done for us has given us freedom. Amen? It's given us freedom. But this freedom is not anarchy. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. So, let me get back to freedom in just a little bit, but let's dive into something else. God is so amazing. He's not like, how many of you know God is not like us? How many of you are glad that God is not like us? Isaiah chapter 5, I'm glad God's not like some of you either. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, it says this. The prophet Isaiah says this. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Can I get some water? Thank you. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as high as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we have a God that by our regular nature, that we don't think like him. Bless you. Wow. That by our own nature, we don't think like God. Left to our natural resources, thank you, we don't think like God. We have a word in our English language that gives that idea that we don't think like God thinks. And this word is a paradox. Paradox is basically a statement that seemingly is, this is a definition, paradox is a statement that seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense and yet seems perhaps true. That's a paradox. How many of you know the Bible's full of paradox? Full of paradox. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. That's a paradox. Doesn't seem to make sense that we would lose our life to find our life. Matthew chapter 23, verse 11 says this. It says, the greatest among you will be your servants. 2 Corinthians 12, 10, Paul declares that when I am weak, then am I strong. It's a paradox. And then not only that, there are many things that God has done that seem paradoxical. He creates the world with his word. He knocks down those city walls with a shout. He picks a little boy to defeat the giant. He takes all these big, this big, huge army and says, Gideon, I want to cut it down to like almost nothing so I can defeat the enemy. He chooses the forgotten boy, the Eric. It's amazing how your scripture, you realize that we don't talk. Well, we do talk, but we didn't talk about this. Literally, two of the examples I'm giving, the main scripture I just gave you, Eric read, and then the next thing about choosing David, he chooses the little forgotten little boy to be the central king of the Old Testament. Then Jesus, king of the earth, laid in a feeding trough. He told the powerful to act like a child. He died to bring life. He picked the most unlikely dudes to carry out the message of the kingdom. God does not think like we think. Then look at you and look at me. God says, I trust you to go and spread my gospel. Have you seen me? Have you seen you? We're not that good. But yet God chose this way to save the world. And then one of the greatest central truths of freedom, the paradoxical nature of freedom, is simply this, that freedom comes from surrender. Freedom comes from surrender. See, let me back up more, and then we'll start moving forward. Think about that idea when it comes to how we want to live, right? Think of the nature of just sin itself, going against God's ways, right? So the idea is just, you'll be better off if you do this, right? That's what the nature of humans say. Well, I'll just be better. I can just go. Let me give you some example. I can cheat. If I just cheat, I'll be better off if I cheat. If I defy authority, you'll be better off. If you seek out revenge, it'll go better for you. If you hold grudges, it'll be better. It feels good. Hey, I tell you what, you should just fulfill every urge that you have. It'll be better for you. Because after all, that's who I am. Don't tell me who I am. Don't tell me I just can't be who I want to be. Well, take that out to its extreme. How does that work out? I'm just a murderer. Just carry that out. See, guys, listen. Those ideas of seeking revenge, not walking in love, right? God says, love your enemy. That goes directly against what we think we should do, right? When we talk about, so my wife and I, we've been talking about this idea, and I want to make it really clear. So I've said it for the last 3 weeks, I think. But when scripture says, do not be like the world, right? Worldly. It goes so much further than a bunch of little moral rules, right? It goes a lot further than just some, hey, don't do drugs. Hey, stop this sinning. Don't be an alcoholic. Don't be this. Don't be that. It goes so much further than that because, listen, we're talking about God's ways, who God is, the way he thinks, the way he does things. And listen, let me make this statement. It seems paradoxical to us, but it's not paradoxical to God. As a matter of fact, it's the right way. Now, you ready for that? You want a tweeting moment? If you believe that some of God's things are paradoxical, then your mind has not been renewed to the Word of God. If you think that in your weakness that you're strong, it's not paradoxical. Those are the facts. If you think I got to hold on and I can't be a giver because I'm going to hold on, because if I hold on, it'll be better, then that's not paradoxical. It's not paradoxical to say. For the mind that's renewed says, I understand that when I give, whether it's money, whether it's my talents, whether it's love, whether it's kindness, that I'll be better off. It's quiet. The predominant thought, listen, what's the predominant thought in our world today? That I'm just going to do whatever I want. That, my friend, is anarchy. And as Christians, we don't do anarchy. Happy Fourth. You know what? This idea, let me just say, this is not a new idea. Like, understand, like, sometimes I think that we see our world, and maybe it's for some of us that are older, you see the world and you say, man, it's worse than it's ever been for you. But understand, this is not new. Go back and think about the way where Jesus, what cultural situation Jesus was born into. Go back and look at just different times of history. There's been times, remember, we did have a civil war in this nation. Right? Things are different. Things are changing for sure. But if you look at the book of Judges, let me just say, make sure when you read the book of Judges, you and Jesus are good. Because Judges, that's a difficult book to process through. I know you're thinking of Samson and all those judges, and they were amazing. Yeah, read further about those lives. And as you read Judges, try not to go into a little bit of depression. Because of how that book just goes and goes and goes and goes. And right? And it ends on this amazing statement at the very end of Judges. Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. He says, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. So this is a part of our world. This is a part of a lot of believers. So I'm not going to forgive. What, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. I'm not going to love people who disagree with me. Really? You're just not. I'm not going to bless someone who despitefully uses me. Right? Like scripture said, I'm going to repay evil for evil. That should be in the Bible somewhere, right? In the book of First Opinions, right? This is the story of, like I said, this is not new. This is the story of humanity. Since the garden, the story of humanity. That people just wanted to do whatever they wanted to do. And remember, when Paul makes this declaration and says the wages of sin is death, he wasn't kidding. Why do we see the things that we see in our world? Because the wages of sin brings death, destruction, disappointment, breaking of families, all the things, because those things bring death. And God says, listen, I'm trying to give you life, but you don't get it through anarchy and doing it everything your own way. People equate that freedom is doing whatever I want. Friends, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Freedom doesn't come from doing everything you want. So for us as believers, and let me I've talked a lot in the last couple of weeks about the club, remember? We're in the club. In the club, we do things differently. Do you know the Bible? Let me just make one thing really clear, and I'll just make people mad this morning. It's going to be great. Like understand that in the club, right, Scripture says, read 1 Corinthians 5. Where it talks about, like, he says, listen, I don't tell you to judge the world. God will judge the world. He says, but what happens in the church is we're supposed to be like Jesus and judge that. The people outside are going to be the people outside. He said, Paul says, and God will judge them. But we in the church are called to a different place. We are not just a peculiar people because we have these sets of rules. We are a peculiar people because we do things differently. And we understand that the paradoxical nature of freedom is when you bend your knee to Jesus and his ways, there is freedom. It's the paradoxical nature of freedom. Now, let's go back to that scripture in Isaiah 55. It's real important to read when you read in context. What is the prophet Isaiah saying? Well, let's start in verse 6. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Hear that? Seek the Lord. Call to him while he is near. Let the wicked one abandon his way and the sinful one his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord so he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will freely forgive. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Hear the context? The context of this is your ways that are against God's ways. Because God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and make it germinate and sprout and provide seed to sow and food to eat. Watch this famous scripture for some of you. So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper and what I send it to do. You will indeed go out with joy and be peacefully guided. The mountains and hills will break into singing before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of a thorn burst, a cypress will come up. Instead of briar, myrtle will come up. This will stand as a monument for the Lord, an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. This scripture, Isaiah chapter 55, talks about a person, a progression of a person who surrenders themselves to God. Not just someone who just goes off and does life the way, any way they want. There is a blessing. There is peace when you turn your heart to the Lord. And his nourishment. See, religion makes it about the rules. God makes it about a surrender to better. I have time. For too long, church, this is what we've told people. Some of you can remember. Remember back in the day, I'm just going to address it right here. So remember back in the day, some of you older saints, you would say, they would give the altar call, and they would say this, come down. They would say this, aren't you tired of doing it on your own? Is your ways not working? Do you find yourself with no peace? I invite you, God invites you to come down and give your life to Christ. Remember those days? We don't say that anymore. You know what we say? You're a sinner. And you need a Savior, which is true. You are both of those things. You are a sinner and you need a Savior. Come down and have your sins forgiven. That is a partial gospel. And so now, I am not surrendered to Christ. I think I'm good to go because me and Jesus are tight because I got my sins forgiven. And I'm not here to judge who's Christian and who's not Christian or whether that altar call that you came down did it for you or not. I'm not here to judge that. What I am here to say is if you think just because your sins got forgiven that now all of these blessings are going to now come on you and overtake you, and you haven't bent your knee to Jesus, you've been lied to. That is not the Bible. And it's high time we as Christians learn what it means. I love what Craig Groeschel says. You know where your freedom comes? Your freedom is in 20 inches. No. It's 20 inches. The average inch from a knee to the floor is 20 inches. Freedom comes in 20 inches. When I say, God, not my ways, God, but your ways. God, they're doing all this stuff. They're saying all these things. God, this is Jesus in the garden, guys. Jesus was obedient to death, even death on the cross. And then God exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. The paradoxical nature of freedom and the gospel is that as you bow your knee, God exalts you. The humble will be exalted, right? But here's the good news. It would be one thing. It would be one thing if we were bowing our knee in surrender to a tyrant. That's a whole different thing. It's another thing to bow my knee to a shepherd. To a shepherd. Repent sounds so harsh, right? The God invites us to a supernatural life as we bow our knee to the good shepherd. Listen to this in Psalm chapter 23. Very familiar. The Lord is my... Okay. Now, everything we read from here on out is alluding to a person who is being shepherded by God. It's not just general out there. It's the one who is the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still, the quiet waters. Hear that? He leads me. If you're not surrendered to the shepherd, how is he going to lead you? Even when I go through the darkest valley, I will fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. That has to do with God's favor and his love for you, right? And his acceptance of you. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live or forever. This happens when we allow Jesus to be our good shepherd. As we bow our knee to the good shepherd, as we bow our knee to the one, that we change our thinking, that no longer, let me get back to some of these, no longer is some of these things paradoxical anymore. No longer is the greatest shall be your servant, because your mind has been renewed and you go, yep, that's it. Your mind has been re-changed so that the things that used to be paradoxical are not paradoxical any longer, but they're normal. That I have aligned the way God is with who I need to be. And they're not paradoxical anymore. I understand fully that the greater one will be their servant. And that whoever, if I strive to find my life, if I strive to make more and get more, and if I could just have that, if I could just get that, then I could have peace. If I just had a bigger home, if I just had this, then I would be happy. Those who strive to find, if I just had another spouse, then I'd be happy. Listen, your joy comes from inside. The joy comes from God living in you. Oh, you're all these, I'm watching all these couples just go. Let me just say this. Marriage works because we put God's paradoxical things in practice. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. My wife, we have a great marriage. Still do, right? We're good? Okay, and it's not because I just married the right one. I mean, that has a little bit to do with it. But you know the major parts of it? We forgive each other. Like, y'all argue, y'all, yes. Y'all get angry, yes. But we walk in forgiveness. We understand that unforgiveness is like cancer to a marriage. Bitterness is like cancer to a marriage. So what do? We forgive. We walk in love. Well, I'm the man of the home. Then walk in love with your wife like Scripture tells you to. My husband doesn't deserve respect. That Bible verse didn't apply to me. The paradoxical nature of the gospel. I don't know. I just am crazy enough to believe that when I read the scriptures, I don't just read the scripture and go, you know what? I believe God will provide every one of my needs according to his riches and glory. I believe I claim that scripture for myself. I also claim the scripture said I love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. I also claim the scripture that I'll do my best not to provoke my children to wrath. My son said amen. Because you know why? Because God knocks down city walls with nothing but a shout. Because God chooses to send Jesus and put him in he doesn't put him in the middle of Jerusalem. He puts him on the outskirts in some little random village. And they laid him in a baby trough. A feeding trough. It's a baby trough now? It's a feeding trough. Said, you're greatest. He said, if you want to be great, act like a child. If you want to gain your life, lose it for my sake, and you will find it. He's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. And we can trust him that he has your best interests for you. And all of these things, we are called to be different. Called to be different. Called to be peculiar. Called to be, listen, in this box of us as believers, we're called to live differently. And it's going to look vastly different than the world. The invitation is out. He says, come, all you who are heavy and burdened, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. You understand that has to do, there's a lot that has to do with that scripture. It actually talks about you coming to his and letting him teach you. Let Jesus be your shepherd. Let him be your master and become his Padawan, a learner of his. Amen? We'll ask Eric and the band to come back up. Let's all stand together. That's what we're gonna have a meeting real quick. Talk amongst yourselves about being surrendered, and I'll be right back with you. I used to go to a church where the pastor would just go, "Hey, sing that song." That song, it goes like, Jesus is really great, and it's in B, I think. Just start playing it. Like, I don't do that to our band.
Thanks. You can try it.
Yeah. It's in the key of W. Just do it. Go. It's not up on the screen, but let me just read this to you. Hebrews chapter 13. It says, now may the God of peace, who brought us up from the dead, brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This may go over some of your heads, but it's okay. I believe in you. At the end of the day, it says in Isaiah that, and this will be, talking about the person who bows their knee and obeys, right, and becomes obedient, and becomes to accept God's way not being your ways, and start adapting your ways to his ways. And all the blessings, it talks about the myrtle, you'll be like a myrtle tree. I don't even know what a myrtle tree is, but it's really life-giving. Sure. Brings life. And he says, this will be a monument to the Lord. Understand, God's not building you a monument. We are building him a monument so that the world can see the goodness of God. There's a lot of division. There's a lot of anger going on right now. You know what we're called to be? The light of the world. The world's not going to do things the way we want them to do. They're just not. They're not going to live like we think they should live. They're just not. You know what we're called to do? Love other people. Most importantly, love each other. Live as an example. Live a paradoxical world. And take the kingdom and present it to the world and what it would look like as a monument to our God. Amen. It's our calling. It's our call. So you'll hear me from now on when I give altar calls. Let's not come down and get your sins forgiven. God will do that 100%. He purchased the price for your sin. Absolutely. But with that, just come give your life to Christ. Because he says, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I don't even know what to do with you. Bow your heads with me. So maybe you're in this room this morning, and you're like, I am doing things the way I want to do things. I am doing life. Every once in a while, I'll throw a little bit of scripture in. But you would say, if you would say, I haven't really submitted my life to Jesus. And I've lived in this kind of up and down world in my own self. And you say this morning, I want to give my life to Jesus. I am tired of trying to do it all on my own. I'm tired of trying to make all the rules. I'm tired of trying to figure out rights from wrong. I'm tired of, Jesus, I just allow you and your definitions of right and wrong, your definitions of how I should treat other people, your definitions of how I live my life in this world. I surrender those to you this morning. And I come to you the best way I know how, just like I am. And I do thank you that you forgive me of all my sin, that you cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, and you remember them no more. So I receive you as my Savior and as my Lord this morning. Lord Jesus, help me to live a life that pleases you. Well, if that's you right where you're at, just make that acknowledgement. Say, yes, God, that's what I want to do. I need to make that switch in my heart. Jesus, we love you. Let's sing it to him this morning. Sing, Christ is my firm foundation.
Christ is my firm foundation. The rock on which I stand, with everything around me shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He never lets me down. He's
him with everything. This walk of faith goes a lot further than just believing God for this or believing God for that. It's believing that the paradoxical world works. That the paradox of that finding freedom comes in surrender. So God, we acknowledge that this morning. Wesley just told me it felt like the Lord just wanted to remind us that, you know, so how do I get there? And he was saying that just pray and ask God. God, make me more like you. Make me more like you. Can we just see that? That's a good word. I just sense the anointing on that. Just right there where you're at. Jesus, make me more like you. God, God, forgive me. When I've done it my own way. When I've chose to do things outside of your way. God, forgive me. Thank you, God. Put that scripture back at the Psalms 23. Let's read this together, and then we'll close. Let's just read this. This is such a great song. And maybe in a different light, like with the idea that, God, I surrender myself under your, I trust you to shepherd my heart and to shepherd what I do. Okay, just say, well, I'll say it together. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the paths, right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. In Jesus' name. God, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And so, God, we leave here today with a renewed desire to live a life that brings honor and glory to you. God, we leave this place, and God, we thank you for this wild idea that you have, that we would be the light of the world, that you would fill us, God, with your spirit and cause us to be the people that you want us to be. And so, God, we ask, God, for a fresh infilling of your spirit this morning. And God, as we go, God, let us be a light everywhere we go. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be an example. And God, would you give us opportunity this week to not just share opinions, but God, share you with people. God, would you highlight people in our lives that are ready to hear about you? God, help us from engaging in conflict, but God, lead us to people that you have pointed out to us. God, that we'd be able to share your goodness with them. And give us boldness in the moment to say what we need to say. God, we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Are you okay this morning? Is that good? Freedom comes by surrender. God bless you. Have an amazing week. I'll be out on the lawn tomorrow night. So yeah, I'll see you there. I'll see you there.